Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us for our second service, whether you're joining us from home via our live stream or you're here with us in our sanctuary. Always a reason to celebrate and to be thankful. Many of my friends who are pastors across the country have shared with me that they have not been able to open up their church doors for in-person worship since March, so we'll take whatever we're allowed to have, and we're just so thankful for this opportunity. I want to talk about disruptive hope this morning as we continue to celebrate Advent, and we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 2, verses 13 to 18, as we continue our series called Living Hope. And I'll go ahead and read that. For suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. This is God's word. This word disruptor or disruption reminds us that when an event or a person or a situation interrupts our lives, it often causes a disturbance that is much more than just a temporary inconvenience or an interruption. It fundamentally changes everything in its particular sphere of influence, in its industry, in its platform. Companies talk about technologies that change them completely. We were cleaning out our basement. I guess we're kind of bored at the Kim family household, and so we started to clean out our basement. And my son James, 5 years old, found a bunch of Bible story tapes that I listened to when I was close to his age in these blue album covers. And so he said, "Daddy, what's this?" as he pointed to the cassette tape. And he was so intrigued by it. Now, here's a five-year-old that plays Minecraft addictively with his cousins across the country in real time via the internet. And here he is, intrigued by old-school cassette tapes. So now, for part of his Christmas gift, I have to find, because I threw them all out, a cassette player so that he could listen to these old-time Bible stories that I used to listen to as a child in the 70s. Imagine that, how even in music and technology there have been disruptions after disruptions that have changed everything. And I would like to propose that in our familiarity with the Christmas story, which is for so many of us a beautiful part of the holiday calendar and tradition and part of our routine, especially as important as it is during COVID, and we celebrate all that, we want to be reminded as we look at Luke's gospel that this first Advent, this first Christmas, was anything but tradition. We can't escape the fact that no one expected this to happen in this way. And I would like to propose that the Advent story, the Advent events, is the greatest disruption that humanity has ever experienced. And so in our often familiarity and sentimentality of the Christmas holidays, as we go back to the Gospels, we're reminded that it was the ultimate disruption. James Edwards, Bible scholar, material I'm using for this series to help prepare, reminded us how utterly remarkable that here in Nazareth, God announces the salvation of the world. Not to Rome, not to Byzantium or Alexandria, not to Paris or Tokyo or Los Angeles, but to Nowheresville, God dispatches the highest prince in creation. We can't become so overfamiliar with the Advent, the Christmas story, that we forget what an incredible act of disruption this is for all of our world and humanity. First of all, I would like to share that disruptive hope often works through life's interruptions. Disruptive hope, the hope that connects us to the gospel and to the Advent story of God sending his own son into our world. He works through life's interruptions. It is a hope that is often unexpected, unmerited, and unexplainable by our human reason and understanding. Shepherds working the night shift, hearing the bleating of the sheep in the darkness, seeing the stars out in the night sky, who were throughout history often despised and looked down upon in the type of occupation that they wouldn't necessarily want to embrace or see their kids get into. These ordinary shepherds, in the midst of the mundane, saw thousands upon thousands of heavenly hosts break through, announcing the greatest disruption of all. And through this, they would run to Bethlehem, see this infant, this Savior, along with Mary and Joseph. Well, you wonder what happened to the sheep, who watches them. For them, it was an interruption in their lives, in their work, in the midst of watching sheep. When it was announced to Mary, it was announced to Joseph, it was not something they were expecting or a tradition for the holidays. It was an absolute disturbance. And that's why I love how James Edwards reminds us that whenever God appears and he does his work and unfolds his great plan of redemption, he is called, through the scriptures, in James Edwards' words, the divine intruder. There's a reason why when we look at these early stories in the Gospels, that immediately, as the story unfolds, the words are always accompanied. Fear not! Do not be afraid. In other words, in modern terms, don't freak out. It's going to be okay. Because it was so unexpected, so shocking. Edward says Gabriel's word was not a welcome word to Mary. Luke tells us of the Annunciation comes to Mary not as a comforting and consoling word, but as something that disrupts her world, disturbing and frightening her. You see, when God unfolds his plan of redemption to rescue and save our world, he does it through interrupting into our daily, ordinary, mundane lives and offers us a disruptive hope. And that's what we see here in the life of these ordinary shepherds, in Mary, in Joseph, and so for us today. What interruptions have you experienced this past year? You're experiencing right now that has given you so much frustration, but ultimately points forward to the hope that comes, that God desires to give, a disruptive hope because it connects us back to the arrival of Jesus into our world. Disruptive hope works through the interruptions of our ordinary lives. And so we begin with this disruption unfolding as thousands upon thousands of angels shouting glory to God in the highest. Could you imagine the shepherd's reaction? So transformed. They left everything to go to Bethlehem and to lay their eyes upon the one to which the heavenly hosts were shouting praise about. Disruptive hope works through life's interruptions. But secondly, as we reflect on the Advent story, disruptive hope reminds us that we aren't in control. Disruptive hope reminds us that we are not in control of our lives. We don't control the plan of God and the circumstances of how things unfold. And we realize that more and more in our frustration during COVID of the lack of actual control we have over our lives. And as we begin to see the story, this Christmas story unfolding, this first Christmas here in Luke's gospel, the shepherds had nothing to do with it. God is the main actor. He is the initiator. He is unfolding his plan of love and redemption to rescue the world. They merely were observing. They merely were receiving what God was doing. Disruptive hope reminds us that we are not in control of our lives, and we hate that. That's frustrating. We looked at this when we went through the book of James, the danger of the sin of presumptuousness in our lives, arrogance in our ability to solely determine the course of future events of our lives and for our families. When we trust in our plans and our abilities as the only factors that really matter when it comes to the success of our lives. And we have been reminded of that through the disruption of COVID. And we're reminded of that whenever God chooses to intrude upon our lives and reveal himself to us. God allows for these interruptions and these redirections to remind us that he is the main actor. And we are the recipients of his plan, of his love, and his grace. You see, hope, biblical hope, is almost always disruptive because we, just like as we look at the story of God's people, the Israelites, the disciples, the early church, and for the past 2,000 years, hope is disruptive because we often plan our lives without planning for God. And so, because we are so busy, we're so worried, we're so comfortable, we don't make room for God. He often, when he shows up, does it in a disruptive way by what we call a holy intrusion. And that is the heart of the Christmas story. And this is what we find here in Luke's gospel. Disruptive hope reminds us that we aren't in control. And thirdly, disruptive hope is how God reveals himself to us. It's how he reveals himself to us. A disruptor in our world today, when it arrives, it's just not a mere interruption, but it completely changes the landscape of an industry, a culture, a people, a nation. We can't even imagine ordering things without using your Amazon Prime account. I mean, it's amazing. No wonder he's the richest man in the world. When disruptors arrive, it changes our lives. It changes everything. And we're reminded in the midst of celebrating our traditional holidays that the Advent story is the greatest disruptor that the world has ever seen. Because whenever God shows up, he offers a kind of hope through that disruption and disturbance he creates. Do not fear. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy. And so whether it be these shepherds working at night on the night shift watching their bleeding sheep, whether it be Mary, a Joseph, a group of ragtag Galilean fishermen, a woman at the well, a blind beggar, a zealous Jewish religious Pharisee named Saul. Whenever God shows up, he does it in a way that disrupts us. in order to give us hope and in order to reveal himself to us in a fresh new way. Because we must never forget that the Advent story is the gospel story. And Jesus, he changes everything and continues to change everything in our lives. Hope has arrived. We're reminded that the great heavenly reality has now entered into our world in the inbreaking of God's kingdom through the person of his Son, Jesus. Disruptive hope is the way in which God catches our attention, shakes us up, disturbs us in order to reveal himself. And so we are not surprised that biblically, when we look at the gospel stories, we see that whenever God communicates a disruptive hope, that it always leads to a response, which is worship. Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorified. For all that they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Shepherds, in the midst of the mundane, the late night shift at work, experienced the inbreaking of God's kingdom and plan by the sending of his Son, Jesus. And they returned. And so as we journey through the scriptures, through the gospels in this series of Living Hope, we ask the question then, in what ways is Advent the great disruptor practically in my life today? When we begin to grasp once again, in the midst of all the challenges we are going through as a nation, as a family, as an individual during this pandemic, what happened in that manger, that life that entered into our world through Mary, the Son of the living God, whose life born in a manger would lead to his death on the cross. When we revisit that and grasp how shocking of a story that is, I believe it disrupts four things in our lives. First of all, it disrupts our unbelief. A lot of us this past year, as followers of Christ, have struggled so much. So much that we have lost in our lives. And I want us to be reminded as we reflect here in the Advent story presented to us in Luke's Gospel chapter 2, that God is faithful to his word. He is real. And he loves us and has shown it to us by the sending of his Son, Jesus. Advent is not just that feel-good tradition that occurs in December as part of our family holidays. And it is part of that, yes. But once again, as you sit and stare at the face of this Jesus, allow the Advent story of his arrival into our world to disrupt your unbelief. For we're all struggling with doubts, do we not? Secondly, Advent, how does it begin to really make its way practically in our lives? It disrupts our pride. God had to send his Son Jesus because there was no other way for our lives to be rescued, redeemed, and renewed. That's how lost we are. We are beyond hope in and of ourselves. Religion cannot do for us what we so desperately need. Forgiveness of sin. An embrace that is unconditional. And a life that is repurposed after it is redeemed to serve the eternal kingdom of God. Advent disrupts our unbelief. It disrupts our pride, our desire to leave God out of the picture of our lives, to think that we can just hold God at bay until we get through the pandemic, then maybe we'll begin to roll up our sleeves and get serious about our faith. No! We cannot live independently apart from Him. Let Advent disrupt once again that pride of self-sufficiency. Thirdly, Advent disrupts our isolation and our disconnection. God sending Jesus is His invitation of open arms to invite us into His family, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And in doing so, connects us to one another in community. They go hand in hand together. As we struggle relationally, being so disconnected, our isolation often plunges us into a kind of disconnection as we become islands unto ourselves. That's not okay. That is not healthy. That is not God's heart and plan and purpose for our lives. And even in the challenges that we are going through, how critically important it is that we're reminded that as we revisit the Advent story, it disrupts our isolation, our disconnection. And fourthly and finally, Advent practically disrupts our discouragement. We turn on the TV, all we hear in the media is the upcoming long, dark winter. This is going to be the worst winter of our lives in modern history. And if that's all we're hearing, my goodness, how can you not be depressed and discouraged by that? But the Advent story reminds us that that discouragement is disrupted with true hope that Jesus has entered into a broken world. And because of that, we do have hope. Allow His arrival into our world to disrupt our discouragement as we are infused with the real living hope of our lives, our souls, our families, and the coming of Jesus into our world. Our unbelief, our pride, our isolation, our discouragement. The gospel, the Advent story, dismantles and disrupts all four of those things. If we take time to once again realize what it really means that God sent His Son into our world for you and I. James Edwards ends his meditation of Luke 2 with this powerful insight. The God of the Bible does not draw intrepid souls upward to Olympian heights, nor can He be found by concentrating our power and plumbing the depths within. God does something far more unsettling. He breaks into this world even when He is unexpected and unwelcome. God joins us in our weakest and worst moments. The world is not a safe place after all. If by safe, we mean safe from the visitations of the Holy One. There is a divine intruder among us. And He has visited us 2,000 years ago, appearing to these ordinary shepherds on a dark, starry night. And He continues to draw us back to Himself as a divine intruder that has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And so three questions I'd like to leave you with as we come to the end of our time of looking through Luke chapter 2 this morning. In what ways has your life been interrupted this year? And I think if we were to open up the mic, my goodness, we could probably stay here all week hearing of the ways in which our lives have been interrupted, disrupted this past year. But secondly, turning to God's Word and the gospel story, how is Jesus' arrival the greatest disruption of all? How does his arrival into our world change everything? And thirdly, how have you found hope through that disruption? Three questions that I hope will begin to trigger a deep look at this infant Jesus, who is God's greatest disruption into our world to offer us hope of a new life, a new purpose, and a new dream. Let's pray. How has your life been disrupted this past year? And if the gospel story is true and Jesus indeed has entered in flesh and blood into our world, how does that disrupt the four areas of your life that we have pointed to? And as we think about those things, how then, in dismantling and disrupting our unbelief, the doubts that we have, our pride, our isolation, and our discouragement, how do then instead confront the hope that we find in Him? Our Heavenly Father, we pause and confess that in our pride and unbelief, in our descent into isolation and great discouragement, help us to be reminded that you have come and disrupted all those things because your Son indeed has come. I pray, Father, as we are reminded of that, as we prepare our hearts for the Lord's Supper, once again, would you disrupt us? Would you intrude upon our lives? Shake us up once again, Lord, as we return back to you. We give you thanks, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to end our service with the time of the Lord's Supper that we do the first Sunday of each month. I would like to, before we stand together to recite the Apostles' Creed, like to take us through an Advent liturgy written by Thorne Schumann from Jeremiah 33, Psalm 25, and 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Because of you, righteous God, we begin our journey to Bethlehem, trusting that you will lead us down the path of faithfulness. For you, child Jesus, we wait on this day of anticipation and hope. In the days of doubt and worry, with you, Spirit of Advent, we serve. Those for whom this season is not one of joy, those whose lives are empty of family and friends. Because of you, fulfiller of promises, we come to know the way to Bethlehem, where justice is born, to a shunned family, where the riches of your love are born into poverty. Because of you, sign of our redemption, grace sprouts hope. In the winter of our despair, goodness overcomes evil in the streets of our cities. Love transforms hate in the hardest of hearts. Because of you, abnegator of our fears, we are taught to pray in the shadow of our worries and to trust that your peace is preferable to those easy prejudices sold on every corner. Because of you, God in community, holy in one, we will be led in this holy season to the place of our hope and redemption.